This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 277. We're continuing the X-Men franchise watch through. We're going to start it off with the next sequel onto the in the franchise with X-Men 2 United from 2003. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
And in today's episode, we have another special guest. We have more Patreons coming out throughout the year, so it's going to be cool listening to sit down with them and review whether it's a franchise or a solo or both films. So either or. But in this today's episode, we have Pablo LaFrosia. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So what are your experiences with the X-Men franchise?
Experience with the X-Men franchise. Well, didn't we see the first one together in the theater?
I think we saw the first two.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, so we go way back, and I think I've seen every X-Men movie in theaters. It's just really one of my favorite series, so I'm really looking forward to talking X-Men 2 with you guys.
Yeah, so in today's episode, we're going to give you guys the box office. We're going to continue with the box office, see if they go up and they go down, and then, of course, the Rotten Tomatoes scores of these X-Men movies. So with that said, let's get right into the actual episode. Right, Nate? So yeah. Let's have fun. Let's go into the box office numbers. So This one was budgeted at $110 million. Domestic, it made $214 million. International, $192 million, for a worldwide total of $407 million. Another successful movie. What you guys think, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a success. You know, marketing budgets weren't as high in 2003. Weren't as high in 2003 as they are now. So, you know, I don't imagine they spent like crazy money there. Also, you know, you still had Hugh Jackman, a little bit pre-super fame, so probably a little cheaper. You know, almost four times your budget. Pretty good.
Yeah, Pablo, what do you think of the box office?
Well, for that time, when it came out, 2003?
Yeah.
And the budget was 110. All right. So I think those are good numbers. I think if this movie would have come out today, the budget would probably have been twice as, you know, probably been like 200 something. Yeah. And I think it would have done more than it did back then. I think it's, well, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but I think it's one of the better movies of the series. And I think it would have done really well. But yeah, those are some very solid numbers.
Yeah. And this is coming from the first one. So the first one worldwide, $296 million. So it doubled, okay? And that budget was $75 million. So just to give everyone a perspective from the first film into the second, it was double, well, a little
slightly
bit more
higher
money.
Budget and almost over $100 million extra on top of it.
That's what you want from a sequel, too.
Exactly. Yes.
From a studio perspective.
And then 3 years later, too. So 2000 and two, and then 3 years later, you want to see if the fan base still wanted more, and they did.
It was on the right trajectory.
Yes. Right now. So let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say on this movie, Nate.
Well, also on the right trajectory is your critics and audience scores, because this is rare, Alex. You know, all these episodes we've done, it rarely happens, but they have the same exact critics and audience score. So the rare exact same 85% for both. So a very well-reviewed movie critically, and a very well-reviewed movie by regular old people like us. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's higher. I think both of those are higher than both of the numbers from the first movie, and that's kind of what you want from a sequel, if possible. Better reviews, more box office. So, yeah, this is trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was 82%. And then 83%.
So 3% and 2% higher. So close. But what you don't want is a dip. So even if you keep it even, you're doing pretty well. And they went slightly higher.
Yeah. Pablo, what do you think of those Rotten Tomato scores?
I think they're solid and it makes sense. And this movie, this is pre-MCU, right?
Oh, yes. And no MCU. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was really nothing to compare. I mean, it was new. It was fresh and it was starting a franchise. And I think those are good numbers.
So let's get right into the review. Now we're going to start it off with the lead character. Now, this one, I mean, you got X-Men, you got Cyclops, Wolverine, Professor X, the whole ensemble is the lead character in this film. So Pablo, take it away. What did you think of the lead characters together?
You know, I think Hugh Jackman was still the lead in this. I think he had the subplot. I think he had two subplots. Can we do spoilers here? I don't know.
Yeah, full spoilers.
Okay. Full.
Yeah, so he had the love interest subplot, mm-hmm. and then he has his origin subplot. So I think that, yeah, if you watch the movie again, you can see that Hugh Jackman is the lead, and you can't go wrong with Hugh Jackman. You know, I think that the casting for him for being Wolverine was like, You know, they knocked that out of the park. You know, originally, I don't know if you guys did, when you did the first X-Men, I don't know if you guys talked about that. It was supposed to be Russell Crowe.
Did
you guys
didn't talk X-Men about one? It, but I remember
No,
that.
We did. Yeah, oh, we okay. did, but we didn't talk about, like, the what if, like, yeah. who was the original
Yeah, so it, yeah. it was really Russell Crowe, and I think he signed on and he was ready. It just, they couldn't do it because he was doing Gladiator. Mm-hmm. So Hugh Jackman wasn't really, like, the first choice. But, yeah, what a great casting. And even till today, I mean, you know, with him coming back for Deadpool 3, I think people are going to be going to see the movie mostly just to see Wolverine again. But as far as lead, what do you guys rate? Are you guys rating?
One through five.
I would yeah. say five. Yeah, definitely. Five. But if you had Halle Berry, that might bring it down to a three. I don't know.
See, I'm telling you, Halle Berry is like the weakest link.
Alex didn't like her in the first movie very much.
I hated her in the first movie. Yeah,
The only good thing with this one is she lost the accent. I think that was better.
And she had a better wig.
She had a haircut. Yeah,
yeah, she had a better wig.
Yeah. That was really wig. Bad. Yeah.
So, but not yeah, only five. Russell Crowe, for a fun fact, though, also before Hugh Jackman, Dougray Scott was cast as Wolverine too. And then it ended up going to Hugh Jackman. Now, if you don't know Dougray Scott, he was, of course, the villain in Mission Impossible 2. So if you need a reference for him, he was also going to be Wolverine. Hugh Jackman was like an unknown. Got it. All right, I'm going to go lead character. So yeah, I will, again, I agree. I think Wolverine was the lead in the first movie. I think even though he did have two subplots in this, I think he actually had less to do in this than the first movie. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I do feel like this did a better job than the first movie of the team element of really giving everybody some time to do stuff. You know, it's a little longer. It's about 30 minutes longer than the first movie, even though it doesn't feel like it. But with that extra 30 minutes, they were able to develop a lot of other characters, right? Because you have Iceman in this and his whole thing with Rogue, and that got a fair amount of time. You have the Jean Grey stuff, and the, you know, with Wolverine and Cyclops. You have Nightcrawler. They introduce a whole new mutant in this, and he gets a little story. So I think they balanced it way better. I did give this one a 5 for the lead, and really for, even if you just go, I think Hugh Jackman is better in this movie than he is in the first movie, and I think the whole team is better. Now, I do have one gripe. I hate what they did with Cyclops in this movie. If you're a Cyclops fan, and he really didn't even do a ton in the first movie, he does even less in this movie. First of all, he's off screen for most of it. And then when he finally does magically show up again, he's like fighting against them because he got that little stupid thing that William Stryker can control them. And then he like snaps out of it, and then he helps them at the end. So it's like, man, I just feel like all of these movies, and we're no spoilers for 3, but all I'll say is, it doesn't get better for my man Cyclops. He really got the shaft. With that being said, I'll still give it a 5 overall, though. I think they really gave everyone else a lot of time to shine, and I thought Hugh Jackman was even better in this one than the first one.
Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with both of you guys. I gave it a 5 also. I mean, Wolverine is going to be the head guy for all of them. I mean, that's even Days of Futures Past. It's Wolverine also. So he is a popular character. They were banking on Wolverine for all these 17 years. So that is just... it is what it is. But in terms of this movie, I like the team element. I mean, I know Bryan Singer was one of the writers of this. So I enjoyed it for what it was as a team ensemble. I still did not like Storm in this. All she does is tornadoes and wind. That is all she does. And I'm like, lady, you could control way more Storm. Like, you could do Sandstorm, electrical storm.
And she doesn't have a story arc either.
She has no story arc. Nothing. And it's so horrible because, like, even in the cartoons, they gave her at least a little bit of love. Like, they went to Africa. They showed where she was from. You see where she lived and all that crap until Professor X came out. So it's like, okay, that's cool. But even Professor X, who's the head of this school, doesn't even have a big role at all. It's like, what the hell? And then even Magneto, which you're thinking Magneto's the big villain in this one. No, he's more the anti-hero in this one. With the team, he's helping now the X-Men. I mean, he still has that double, you know, that double, what do you call
that's
it?
That's where like, the United part of the title comes from. Because they have to work with Mystique and Magneto as well.
But still, it's like, I just feel like a lot of the characters that's supposed to be shining bright is still behind Wolverine, where you have Jean Grey, which you start to see she's going to become the Phoenix. And you're like, okay, this is cool. But still, you're like, she's still behind Wolverine. You have that love story between Jean and Wolverine. And it's like, okay. And then, of course, Cyclops, which is one of the, I mean, he's a popular character to a lot of people. It's the leader, Cyclops. And the one scene is when he went against Lady Deathstrike and shot 2 optic blasts, and then she just knocked him out with her foot. And I was just like, this is like kind of weak. And I liked it. I was like, you know what? I liked it for that one point. You got to see Cyclops at his element. But, and then he whooped the crap out of the security guard, which I was like so amped about. But it was like, he got shafted. But Wolverine, I mean, he's still, they wrote him way better in this one than the first one. I'm happy about that. That, like, the writing got way better. So Iceman, Pyro, because those are the ones that you follow a little bit. Nightcrawler was really good, but Adam Cumming was not coming back no more after he went through that 10-hour makeup. And he said it. He was like, I ain't coming back. So I was like, damn. That kind of hurt the franchise going down the line, because Nightcrawler was kind of big. And he made this movie a little bit big. So with that said, I gave it a 5. You guys gave it a 5. Main villain, William Stryker. I mean, there's no way you can put it away. It's not Magneto. It's William. Colonel William Stryker. All right, Pablo, what do you think of William Stryker?
I'm going to give him a 4. Huh? I think he was a good villain. It kind of went back and forth with him and Magneto. I think Magneto was the other villain, too. I mean, he wanted to kill all of humanity. So, I mean, that's an anti-hero. You know, I don't think he's going to plot to kill, you know, all of mankind. So he was the villain also. So they had to juggle between two of them, I think. And so I think that's why it took a little bit away from Stryker. But as far as, you know, the actor, casting, great. I mean, you know, he blew up with Succession recently. And I forgot that he was Stryker, you know?
Brian
so,
Cox,
yeah. So when I was watching, I was like, oh, that's the dude from Succession. Oh, that's cool.
And he created Jason Bourne in the Bourne's movie.
Oh, he's in that too?
Yeah, he created Jason
and
Bourne.
And he's the voice of McDonald's commercials as well. That's him.
which is really his claim to fame.
At this point.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But no, I think he was a good villain, good story, and a good motivation. You know, great villains need good motivation. You know, the whole thing with his son, you know, that makes sense. So, you know, when you can, you know, sympathize a little bit with the villain, but, you know, obviously, you know, with their method or their plans, you know, you disagree with, you know, that makes a good villain. So there was conflict there, and I really enjoyed it. But I'm going to give him a 4.
All right.
Ooh. 5 for me. It's a good 5. I love William Stryker. I think he's evil, and I love an evil villain. This guy was shooting kids, letting people shoot kids with darts, collecting, rounding up the mutants like they were, you know, cattle, breaks into a school full of little children. They're kids, even if they're mutants. They're little kids, and any villain who's willing to shoot some kids with some darts and wrangle them up, automatic extra point for me. So that, I love Brian Cox in this movie. I thought he was perfectly cast. I agree. I think his performance was really good. I love the background with he has a history with one of these characters big time with Wolverine. He is his creator, essentially. You know, I love that scene where Mystique comes in and he's like, I know my creation. That is not. He's like, we got to get out of here. That is not Wolverine. I love that part. So I love that he has already a connection to one of the characters. But on top of that, he hates them all. He's trying to kill them all. He's going to the president. He got that weird son with the two different color eyes who can't talk. And he's making him use Professor X. He's using one of their own to try and kill all of their own. I love his whole storyline. I agree with Pablo. I mean, I don't agree with his motivation, but I think it's a great motivation for a villain. It's very villainous and evil. I do agree. Magneto still, even though they work together, he essentially is still a villain. He just takes more of a backseat. I do think Ian McKellen's great in this movie. And I actually love what they did with Magneto, kind of making him this sad piece of crap in that jail. He's getting beat with the stick, and then when he finally get his escape scene, I absolutely love. He's like, "What's that? Oh, you got a little bit of iron in your bloody pulls
that
it
was
out
great,
of him."
Actually,
that oh was, my that god, was a, it was so freaking good.
Whoever came up with that idea was really cool.
Yes, I love it. So, and then at the end, he's like, "Focus on the humans. How about that? How about you kill all the humans, Charles? Like, let's stop doing this." So, I love it. I gave it a 5. I think the villain element in this film is far superior to the villain element in the first movie. And Magneto was great in the first movie, but I think overall it's better here. So I'm a 5.
Yeah, I agree with both, but I'm giving it a 5 because my man William Stryker does not mess around. The reason I gave him a 5 is if you turn your son and you like, he's not my son no more, and he's about to use him to kill the world, to kill all the mutants, I'm like, you're diabolical. Yeah, he does create Wolverine, which is actually pretty cool. Again, he went to the president and made up all this fake crap because he drugged Magneto and got all this information. He drugged Lady Deathstrike. I mean, so he came up with a concoction that can control mutants.
Nightcrawler? He controls Nightcrawler?
Yeah, he made him go try to kill the president. That's diabolical, dude. Like, and then he goes back to the president going, man, he was this close. Like, going, damn it, he should have got you. But that's very diabolical. To me, that's very diabolical. And Brian Cox is a great actor. I love him in all the spy genre because he is really good at it. Whether he's in the Tom Clancy stuff, I like him. So he's a really good actor. But as and I prefer him way better than the guy from Origins.
Danny Houston.
They should have brought him back. Yeah, they should have brought him back. Because there was a lot of too old. Yeah, but they, I mean, could de-aged, right? I mean, everyone is de-aged these days. I mean, yeah. So
how was that technology in 2009, though? You ever seen Tron Legacy?
Bad as Blob.
Looked weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Pablo gives it a 4.
Yes.
All right, action sequences. All right, Pablo, give us the action sequence.
Me again first? Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one. All right, action sequence. I'm going to give it a 4 also. The opening scene is one of the best opening scenes in a comic book movie. That opening scene. And it still holds up, you know? I mean, with technology now and what they can do now, it still holds up. So I definitely, you know, really enjoy that opening sequence. But I do give it a 4 because there's a lot of dialogue and the movie does slow down, you know, or I don't want to say the movie slows down. I want to say the movie takes its time to set up because after the second act and into the third act, it really starts to pick up and everything comes together. But it does take a little bit longer to set up, especially Magneto's escape and that whole plan. So it takes a while for some of the action to come. But the whole action scene with Wolverine in the mansion when they invade the mansion, that was really cool. And something that you said, Nate, earlier was that this, and when I was watching it, I was like, man, this movie's kind of violent, you know, for today's standard. I think that they probably had to cut some stuff out just to make it PG-13 because it is violent, especially when compared to a lot of like the MCU or even the DC movies. Yeah, it's really, and violent, I don't mean like violent what you see on screen, but just the concept like shooting kids and all that stuff like that. And it's pretty out there.
And that's why I prefer these type of movies than the MCU movies. Because it's like these took a chance, and to me, these feel way better than me sitting down watching an MCU movie. Whereas if people like that happy, happy, joy, joy stuff, that's cool. But the X-Men movies, I applaud them because like I told Nate, and I even said it in the X-Men 2000, this was my DCEU of the Marvel. And I enjoyed it way better than the MCU, any MCU stuff, because they took a shot. And I was like, you know what? It worked. Because with Wolverine, you can't go PG-13. There's no way. My man is brutal. He's a rated R comic book. So if you're going to do that light, happy, happy stuff, you're going to flop in the box office. Because people are not going to, they're not paying to see Wolverine throw fairy dust. They're there to see my man throw some blood on the screen. And that's why I'm a little scared to see what X-Men in the MCU is going to be. Because if Wolverine is not rated R, those tickets, people are not going to be happy
for
that.
To be fair, this was not rated R. So.
No, but Wolverine was raging Wolverine. Like, he stabbed the dude right through here.
The blood. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, you can make it PG-13. It just has to have a certain brutality to it. They just can't do, like, blood exploding all over the screen.
This one didn't have blood and stuff, but the tone.
Yes, the tone is serious and dark.
And you understood what was happening. You know, I mean, this guy was slashing people left and right, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they were going to walk away from Wolverine's wounds. You know?
No, we need a rated R uncut of X-Men 2 and see what it would look like with blood all over the place. Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. Nate, what do you think action sequences?
So, all right, I wrestled with this, and where I ultimately ended up is agreeing with Pablo at a 4. Now, hear me out. I gave the first one a 3. Okay,
Okay.
So this is superior to 1. In every facet, action-wise. I agree 1,000,000%. I think this has the best opening scene, definitely of an X-Men movie. None top the White House scene with Nightcrawler. There's none better. Yeah. But even just comic books in general, this has one of the best opening scenes. And you're telling me this was made 20 years ago, and that scene of him, the way he teleports and it looks better than movies I watch now at the movie theater, honestly.
Yeah.
The effect of the smoke staying after he leaves and he pops up over there, you could tell they did wire work. Like, it's not a CGI guy that's popping in frame. It's a guy on wires doing moves and then they pop him out of frame. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think the Lady Deathstrike and Wolverine fight is awesome. The one thing that I hate about it is that mid-fight, they cut to another scene and then they come back to it. And I always think, even like every time I watch it, I think it's a weird choice. Like, she's stabbing the crap out of him. He falls into the water with her. And then they go to Cyclops and Jean talking. And I'm like, way to kill the momentum of that part. And then they come back to it and he stabs her with the, you know, with the adamantium. So I didn't like the ending, but I love the fight. And then the mansion scene is great. You get some Colossus action. You get Wolverine just absolutely destroying people. You get, Alex, I agree. I believe there is a rated R version somewhere laying out there in the editor's room, because it's brutal, and you do get some blood when Magneto pulls out that metal. There, you get like this mist of blood coming out the dude. So I think they wasted their blood on that part, and that's okay. It was cool.
The scene that Wolverine gets shot in the head.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with the cops.
And you see, there's a little bit of blood, not a lot, but it's very graphic. You know, and it left an impression on me. Like, it was like, wow, the dude got shot in the head. You know,
this cops ain't playing. Shot him right in the head. So yeah, I agree. I think the action scenes, you got pyro blowing up cars. Here's what keeps it from a five for me. And you know, with for my fives, I have to be like blown away. It has to be nonstop. And to Pablo's point, this is a story-driven franchise, period. Whether they're good or bad, that's up to you, but they're story-driven. So they're not like nonstop action. It's little bursts of really cool action. And this is better than one, but it's still not a five for me. It's a four.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I don't mind the storyline. If the storyline is really good, which we're going to talk about next, and the action fills the gap, but if it's in the point that you go, wow, this is actually really good action, and you're going, you know, then it brings the story in, I'm okay with it. I'm really fine with it. Like, I don't mind comic book movies like this. I always said it. If a whole 2-hour movie is like this, where it's all yapping and the action is in spurts here and there, you got me. Like, you got me on that. X-Men did it great in the first two. I mean, the first movie was a little wonky, but whatever. We talked about it. But this one, I think it was perfect. And in terms of the action, I gave it a 4. So I was going to give it a 5. But honestly, besides Wolverine fighting Letty Deathstrike and the mansion, which it was not really a fight sequence. It was just him running around and stabbing everyone. And you didn't see much of it, because it was just him grabbing them, and then you see the guns firing. So it's like playing with your imagination. What really happened to them after Wolverine did what he had to do with his screams? So I was just like, okay, that's cool. Pyro lighting up the joint was awesome. I didn't care. Yeah. I was like, you know what, man? If I had those powers, I'll be shooting my way out also. Mm-hmm. There was no way. And I liked it. And Rogue used their powers. And I was like, okay, cool. Magneto stopping it from crashing. That scene in the air when he poofed and grabbed her and then went back into the... I remember the theater, everyone freaking went nuts when she was like... I thought that was cool. And then my only gripe was, I wish we had a better fight between Cyclops and Jean Grey.
I thought that
was so wee. Oh, yeah, man. Because again, it was like he shoots his octave blast, she holds it, boom. And it was like he forgot. He's all of a sudden, he's back. And I was just like, oh, come on. Like, you mean that this dude is more powerful than half of these X-Men besides Jean Grey? But his little fight sequence is another explosion with his octave blast, which I was just like, that was kind of weak. But all in all, I gave it a 4, but man, imagine if Cyclops stood back with Wolverine and those helicopters were coming down. It would have been a slaughter between Cyclops and Wolverine. He's in the always roof shooting them down.
To see a Cyclops and Wolverine like fight scene, like where they fight through a bunch of guys or something.
In the
like,
holodeck.
Even if they go danger room, whatever. Like, it would be the fastball special. Yeah, it would be awesome. Yeah. It would be awesome.
I think didn't they do that in No, I don't think they did that. The fastball special, the one where Colossus picks up Wolverine and throws him.
No.
Right? They didn't do that. We haven't seen that on screen yet.
No, and in this movie, especially, Colossus just turns metal, gets shot, punches the guy, and then goes, I can help. Oh, I can help you.
No,
help him. And then he runs down the hallway, and we never see him again.
Yeah.
So. You might see it in Deadpool 3, because Colossus is...
Don't they do it in X-Men 3 when they're fighting
I'm asking.
I think in X-Men 3 when they're fighting the Sentinels in the Danger Room, I think they do it.
I think they do it, right?
Maybe in the Danger Room.
We're going to find out next week.
Yeah, I don't even remember Sentinels in the Danger... See, I don't even remember that stuff.
They don't show them a lot.
It's been ages.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, I don't remember that.
X-Men 3, baby. Brett Ratner. Let's go.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Well, all right, here we go. 4 across the board on that storyline. Nate.
Oh, baby. Listen. Look, it's to me, this is still, there's 7 X-Men movies, and to me, this is the best storyline. I think there are other storylines that are coming down the line that are also great, but to me, this is my favorite one. I think it's small scale enough where you get a lot of good character stuff, but it has a big enough, like, repercussions of like them trying to literally kill all the mutants on Earth, right? Usually you have a storyline like this where, okay, you have a villain, he wants to destroy all the mutants and it's going to be this big overblown thing. You're going to see explosions galore. If this was made now, that's probably how they would have played it. Instead here, it's all played and it's in a facility. It's an old man in a wheelchair being mind controlled. It's them trying to go into a facility and get him out. Like that's the real crux of the mission here, right? It's not like even the first movie, you remember they're in the Statue of Liberty and the freaking jizz is coming out and trying to cover everybody. And even that one is like bigger than this one. And bigger's not always better. Bigger's not always better. So I love this story. Again, I love what they did with Magneto in this. I love that he's bad, but they got it. Like they got to work with him. There is like no other option than to work with him. I love the Nightcrawler stuff. I love his character. I really wish he came back for the third one, because I love his whole thing with like being Catholic and also having to be a mutant and like the whole thing with all his markings. Like, I just think it's a great character. I thought Alan Cumming was fantastic in the role. I'm bummed like you, Alex, that he didn't return anymore, because I thought they did a great job with him. I like the new kid. Like, I like that they have I actually like Rogue better in this movie than in the first movie. So I like her stuff with Bobby. And then you have John, aka Pyro, and they have the nuke in the, they're setting up sort of this, is he going to go bad? Is he going to stay good? I just think they nailed it on every front. I give it a 5. I have no problems with this story.
Nice, Pablo.
Yeah, this one is my favorite X-Men movie, including the new ones. You know, the First Class and all of those, the newer cast. Yeah, this one is still my favorite X-Men movie. And it holds up, like watching it again the other day. It holds up and it feels fresh and it feels different than a lot of those superhero movies that we've seen lately. You know, from both MCU and DCU. It felt different. And I wish they would have continued with this, you know. Unfortunately, we know what happens with X-Men 3, but you guys will go there. But
we're going through all timelines.
Forgot the Sentinels are already.
I won't have to revisit that one. But this definitely a 5. Plot-wise is great. One of the things with like superhero movies and villains, when they have this scheme where if one thing goes wrong, like every time I watch a superhero movie and I'm watching, you know, the villains coming up with their big, you know, how I'm going to like rule the world. Mm-hmm. And if it's too complicated and there's one thing that if it goes wrong, the whole plan like falls apart, you know, then it's like it's really dumb, you know, way to come up with like, you know, but this one, it's simple and it's effective, you know, capture, you know, Professor X, you know, and use Cerebro against him and against the mutants. And it's simple and it works and it's executed well, you know, until the end, because of course it's a superhero movie and at the end, the good guys always win. But it was executed well. And that's why I think this one is definitely a 5. I think the only thing I had some issue with was the love interest thing. I wasn't too crazy with that, but it didn't bother me as much. Like it didn't take me out of the movie.
You mean like Wolverine and Jean?
And Scott, yeah.
The little triangle. Yeah, it's not much of a triangle because Scott don't even get to say anything really.
Yeah. like the movie could have, you know, done without it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And it would have been just as effective, maybe a little bit more, but overall, it didn't like take me out of the movie. You know what I mean?
It's one of those doesn't hurt it, but doesn't help it scenarios.
Yeah.
Like it's there, but they could have done without it.
Yeah. They could have used that time for other, you know, other things. But other than that, I thought that, it, you know, definitely plot wise 5, and it's my favorite X-Men movie.
I agree with Pablo on this. I mean, I know we got like 100 more to go on these X-Men, but I always tell everyone X-Men 2 is my favorite movie out of everyone, all of them. And it still holds up. And after watching it now, it is a cinematic movie. And what I mean by cinematic movie, I could put it up with like an old, like a dramatic movie, like an old drama. Like it is shot in a way that if you take away all the superpowers and everything, it looks like a drama, like on screen. Like if you take it all the way, it's shot like a drama. It is no camera work like a superhero movie until they start throwing their powers and all that stuff. Other than that, it feels like a drama. And I liked it. I thought, look, the storylines in this movie with William Stryker is amazing. He sent Professor X's son. He couldn't help him. And he experimented on his son. Loved it. I said, you know what? That's awesome, right? Then you have Magneto's point of view, right? He got captured. They used him. And then what I liked about that whole situation between him and Professor X is that he betrayed his best friend. He's like, I'm sorry, but I told them everything. Like, I didn't want to tell him, but I told them what we built.
Yep.
And I loved it. I was like, man, like, he really cares for Professor X to the point that he was going to kill him. saying, you know what? See you later, Charles. Like he's about to let his best friend die by killing the entire humanity. And I loved it. I said, you know what? That's awesome. I agree. The love sequence between Rogue and Wolverine, they just did that because she was going to die. And I was just like, that was kind of meh. The Phoenix, I thought it was the perfect way to introduce it into the movies. I didn't know how they could have did it either any other way. I thought it was really cool, but I thought it was kind of rushed. Yes. It was pretty quick because it was like she started to lose her powers and lose control. And I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. We're going to go into that world now. But I thought it was introduced very well.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of the comics, you probably would not understand the whole Phoenix storyline or that she becomes Phoenix. Because all they do at the end, they just show a silhouette of a Phoenix.
And if
you're a casual fan, if you just like don't know anything about the comics or the storyline, you would probably say, why did they show a phoenix, you know, flying in the water like this, you know, the shadow
what was
of
that
a phoenix
thing?
Yeah, like, what is that? You know, she becomes a bird.
But No, I agree with you. I mean, and again, they didn't set it up as crazy because they just show moments that she becomes this powerful being and then she just snaps back into it. And I was just like, oh, okay. All right. I see where they're going to go. I thought the storyline, I agree with Paul. The storyline and the pacing of this movie should have been the entire universe of the X-Men. I think that's what it stands apart between this and the MCU. And I think that's what works. But my thing is, if they're going to start a new version of the X-Men, will we get this type of storyline or are we going to get the other version of
I will say, though, to your guys' point, I think I said it last week, too. This is my favorite X-Men movie as well. So it's a trifecta. But you guys made a great point that this is literally, if you do this same exact story, every single element the same, and all you do is like change the TVs from being old TVs to newer TVs, like the technology, this movie can be made right now the same exact way and you don't have to change anything. It's not
the
dated
social commentary is relevant today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, more.
Not being,
probably more.
Not being accepted. Yeah, probably more than back then. You know, not being accepted, you know, the society and members of society who are not accepted, just like the mutants are. Yeah, so it's very relevant today. And I was watching and I was like, you know, this, you know, the commentary in this movie, you know, it's probably stronger now than probably was back then.
I mean, if you see the first X-Men movie, that is straight up when they're in Congress and they're complaining about Marvel. That's exactly what they're doing now with I don't want to say it because we get canceled, but everything that's happening.
It's going
now,
on now. Just say
yeah,
that.
What's
it's
going
stuff
on
that happens
now.
Yeah.
Is exactly what happened in X-Men. We talked about it last time. The X-Men 2000 was exactly what happened now of them trying to pass all these laws against stuff. And you're like, holy hell.
This one does it even better. So, yeah, definitely ahead of its time.
Yeah, Liz, I give it a 5. You gave it a 5. All right. Yep. Overall, Pablo.
Overall, what are we doing?
Overall picture.
Same,
everything.
1 through 5.
Yeah. 1 through 5? Oh, yeah, 5. Definitely a 5. You know, like I said, this is my favorite X-Men movie. It's one of the, like, if you were to take all the superhero movies I would make, all of them, you know, going all the way back to, like, the first Spider-Man, right? I'm trying to think of a good superhero movie before, like, pre-Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man, one? With
Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Right? But do you mean, like, Marvel? Because, like, there's Batman.
No, just any superhero. Oh, okay, Tim Burton. Yeah, Tim Burton's
Tim
back.
Burton's 89.
All right, so we go back to 89, right? I'm trying to think anything before that, really.
Superman?
Toxic Avenger?
If you like that?
Oh, that's true.
Superman?
No, if you look back, Superman, you're probably going to have to separate them, you know.
But even if you do that, different. It's like 10 to 12 years in between each one. So it's not pretty common.
But if you do all-time superhero movies, like, you know, Superman, I would probably put Superman 2 before Superman 1. Like, if we go in that way. But Tim Burton's Batman, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, and X-Men 2. Like, they would be up there, you know, as my top superhero movies and my favorite movies. And I would throw in The Dark Knight there. I always have to throw in The Dark Knight. And anytime I talk about top list of anything, The Dark Knight's up there. But yeah, X-Men is up there. I mean, X-Men 2 is up there with you know, the best of them. Yeah. So definitely a 5 overall.
Yeah. You won't get an argument from me. I agree with everything you just said. I think, I think this is not only one of the great superhero films. I think it's a great film in general, period. If you don't, like Alex made a great point, it's, even if you don't like superheroes or powers, this movie really works just as a dramatic story. And, you know, it is directed in a way that is not overly flashy. Although I will say there's some camera work in here that's actually really good. But I mean, it's not like over the top. They weren't going for, you know, we're going to just dazzle you with spectacle. We're going to tell you a really good story. You're going to see some cool fights if that's what you like. And then you're going to walk out happy. And I also think this doesn't get talked about enough in the, you know, you always hear the conversation of like great sequels or sequels that are better than the first film. This is hands down one of the best sequels that there ever was. And it is far superior to part one. And I like part one. I think X-Men 1's a good movie, but I think this is a great movie. And, you know, I think this is in any conversation of sequels. I agree with Spider-Man 2. I think that one's also superior. And we already reviewed those. And I think we said the same thing. But I think this one is head and shoulders above part one. And to be head and shoulders above a movie that was already good is very impressive. I think it's great. I love it. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy about this is that there is not many... Like, if you really look back, and you really, really, really look back, there is not many superhero movies that the sequel is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, you could look back, and you can name them all. Doesn't matter. Batman Returns has no candle to X-Men 2, like, at all.
No, no.
It doesn't. It just, but even Spider-Man 2, like, if I put this up with Spider-Man 2, it's going to be a really debate. If you were, you got to sit back and debate it. Like, in what way would you put the debate between those two movies? Yeah. Because if you're going to look at it in the comic book form, then Spider-Man 2 is going to win it. Because it feels like a comic book come to life. If you're going to make it into a live action come to life, X-Men might win there in terms of, but it's just, I don't know, it just depends on the people in person. What kicked me, look, I give this a 5. And the reason I gave it a 5 is there's one scene in this movie that impacted a lot, even rewatching it now as me as an adult, and is when Bobby came out to the parents. Because I'm like, and they freaked out. And I'm thinking about the people that are like gay, they come out and they talk to their parents and they freak the fuck out and they're like, kick him out the house. You're not my child or whatever. That scene is so perfect. And I'm not saying it in a bad way. I don't want people to be listening to it. No. If you really look at that message, show them Bobby, show them what you can do. And he puts his finger on the thing and the mom drops that damn thing and the brother runs upstairs.
Brother rats him out.
And rats him out. Yeah. It's exactly of what happens now. Like, if you really think about it. And I'm like, that scene impacted me a lot. And when I watched it, I said, you know what? The message in this movie, writing-wise, is far superior on a lot of new shit that we're seeing now in Hollywood. And I thought it was great.
There's one line in there that's exactly what you're talking about. And it's that part where, I don't know if the dad or the mom, I think it's the dad or the mom. One of them. And they're like, have you tried not being a mutant?
Yeah.
like yes. The guy can choose.
Yeah. So it's like, you're like, holy crap. And then the scene in the beginning where the guys wanted the lighter.
Yeah.
And Pyro just winks and then the thing blows up. And then Professor S is like, what the hell are you doing? Like showing off your powers in public.
Where he hit
like,
the Zach Morris everybody. Timeout on everybody. Right.
Yeah.
Right. He said, timeout. Everybody just froze.
Everyone just like, whoop. And so, yeah, to me, I thought that the story is, and the music is amazing in this. The music is so good in this. But look, overall package, I think it's a 5. I agree with you guys. This has to be top 5 best superhero movies put on screen. I agree. And I would love to rewatch this in a theater, like an IMAX.
I wish.
Like, revisit.
I wish they'd give me a 20th anniversary or something. Come on, it's 2003.
You know what? We set it for Pirates, and it came out.
Hey, it's going to happen now. Remember that? We spoke that into existence. Yeah, this is the next one. Yeah.
We need X-Men 2 back on the screen.
Did it come out in 4K? Like, did they have a...
Yes. It looks amazing.
The first two films, because we're watching them on the thing, the first two films look... Oh, my God.
I had to rent it. I had to rent it on Apple, and it was... An HD version.
HD.
It was in 4K.
It looks and sounds great.
Yeah, the 4K looks amazing. But yeah, so, okay, here we go. Total points.
I'll go first. So total points for me is a 24 out of 25. And that is just because of the action. And it's not a knock. To me, it's still a perfect movie for what it is. It's just, you know, we're an action podcast. We got to score that. So I gave it a 4. It's still great. But everything else is perfect, 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 perfect. So 24 out of 25 total.
All right, Pablo.
I think mine's 23 because I think I gave 2 4s.
Pablo gives it a 23. I gave it a straight 24 also. I think, again, it's the action sequence. If the action sequence was really good, I agree with Nate. I think this would have been a perfect movie. It's to me, I don't even care. 24, 25, it's still a perfect movie. I don't care whether it's 24, but yeah, the action is what hindered it by 1 point. But yeah. All right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Oh, baby. So coming up next, we're going to have a special guest on our next episode. And guess what? It's the same guy who's on this episode. We're going to have Pablo back for the next episode. We're going to be doing a little Michael Bay from early, 2005. Okay, 2005. Five. So 2 years later, we're getting a little bit of The Island. So we're going to be covering that. And then, of course, next week, with no special guests, we will be moving on to me and Alex. You just get me and Alex doing some X-Men 3. Nobody wanted to be on that episode. It's just us. We're doing some X-Men 3 The Last Stand. So we're going to be covering
that. I won't
even
watch that on Tubi.
We're going to watch it in 4K, so get ready for that that review next week.
That's bad. We opened it up to anybody. They were like, dude.
Literally no one. But guess what? We got a guest the following week, so nobody wanted X-Men 3.
They said, they wanted First Class.
We got First Class. We got some X-Men 1, some X-Men 2. Last Stand, you guys keep that.
There you have it, man. All right, guys, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks on Instagram. And of course, you can follow our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com, where you have 276 episodes available to you there. All audio, you can watch it there straight from the website. You can watch Nate's movie reviews straight from the website. And of course, our live streams every other Monday, you can check it out there too. Other than that, merch is coming soon. But other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
And you can follow Pablo also at
YouTube.
Tell people where they can find your stuff.
All right. So, open it up. Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel, which has nothing to do with movies. So
but it's still awesome.
I don't know if this is the right audience, you know, but yeah, I'm an audio engineer and I do tutorials on mixing and recording. And I have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Pablo LaFrosia, LaFrosia. So if you want to check out my stuff, you know, if you're into music and you're into, you know, recording and mixing, come check it out.
There you go. If your shit sounds whack, then listen to Pablo's YouTube channel.
There you go. That's
there you
it.
Go.
What a plug.
You sound like you're in the closet.
If you really suck, check out Pablo. He'll help you out.
You go from suck to pro in no time. That's his tagline.
We guarantee it. We guarantee it.